Veritex Community Bank Studios. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey!
How we doing?
No, I was wondering if you were going to be able to get to that.
I'm there. My hangnail had emergency surgery, and I'm okay, bitches.
He's Blank. I'm Branham. Brendan behind the glass. He is back. Strained vocal cords and all. He's playing through the injury. This is the Jordan Plu game for Blankers. This is Tiger winning the U.S. Open on one leg. This is Kirk Gibson hobbling around the bases.
You didn't want to
Blankers
see it,
is
though.
A gamer. What's up?
I'm telling you. There's this a lot of things in life that I've been through. This was no fun.
Yeah, let's not lose our audience in 60 seconds.
For someone that talks for a living, to not be able to speak, that was painful in itself, but I'm sure it was a nice little break for a lot of people.
It was Paul Pierce coming back onto the floor with the wheelchair that took him off.
Yeah, but I didn't poop my pants.
Good to have you back. It wasn't great to see Jake Overeasy on the mound yesterday. His alter ego, take the over because it's easy money. Jake Overeasy on the mound yesterday for the Stros. And, like, there's a couple of angles I want to take with this one. The first thing, this dude's a wuss. Like, he's sitting there in the second pitch of the game already looking at his finger.
Yep.
He's already looking at his finger. And this has been, like, a reoccurring thing in Jake Odorizzi's career where he's looking at, you know, finger the blisters or whatever have cost him to be pulled out of games. You had the visit on the mound. Odorizzi tells you afterwards, oh, yeah, with the blister, I wanted to pitch through it, all of these things. Then he leaves the game. Like, the pitch coach comes out there. There's nobody ready in the bullpen yet, right? Like, no one's loose. No one's ready to go. Maton just got up, wasn't, you know, ready to go in the game. They had no intention of taking Odorizzi out in that spot, and he's sitting there after a long dialogue with everybody on the mound. And in my opinion, this is me guessing, and I think it's a pretty accurate one, he talked his way out of the game.
Here's the damage that had already been done, Jeremy. This is why I hate it so much more than maybe a different player that had a different mentality that we had seen before that's more of a team guy. The fact that this guy has been me his entire existence with the Astros, and at certain times when he really pushes the envelope with it, you just want to say, just shut up and pitch. And wait till they tell you it's time to.
Sounds a lot like shut up and dribble.
But it's different, right? Because this is the guy being the anti-team guy and just completely, he wants to be a part of the team as long as the team can do what's right for him. But he doesn't want to be a team player and wait till it's right for him to come back. And then you go through this and say, you know what? If he was a true team guy, he'd have said, look, I know I'm supposed to try and tough this out or I want to tough this out. But I know either I can't throw certain pitches or I'm not going to be able to do certain things because of the way this finger is looking or feeling right now. Take yourself out and take one for the team before it's too late. By the time he starts dicking around with his finger, he's down, what, 6-0? Or 6-1, 5-1? And all of a sudden you look at it and go, well, gee, thanks, Jake. By the time now you want the trainer to look at it, we just looked up at you giving up a six-pack.
I saw him doing naughty things with his finger there with the second pitch of the game. And then I think it was just a lack of him not pitching well. And it's like, okay, well, this is like a nice little excuse that I can say why I'm not pitching well. Here was Overeasy after the game just describing what happened throughout and this blister on his finger.
Yeah, just pretty much like halfway through the second inning, I had a cut, like the callus on my finger, just started fraying off, and like every pitch I was throwing was it just kept getting a little more ripped. But the sensation is, you know, like a shocking, zinging sensation from that, and then that exposed like the skin underneath, and then I got a blood blister underneath that, and then that just, you know, it kept getting worse. But it's something I pitched through before. So it wasn't really in my mind to be like, hey, we can't pitch anymore. It was, you know, it's not fair to give the bullpen 7 innings of relief when I'm still physically able to pitch. You know, it's just not in my MO to let them wear it for no reason.
That was a long description about the blister, that shocking, stinging sensation. Didn't want to hang the bullpen out to dry, but it looked like he talked his way out of the game.
Just hang the whole team out instead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I understand the idea of eating up innings. Like, the Astros are in a stretch of 19 games in 18 days. Like, I get that aspect of it, but do one or the other. Like, if you're going to talk your way into staying in the game in the fourth or whatever inning it was, but then you're going to talk your way out of leaving the game in the sixth inning, like, pick one. Which side is it? Like, don't talk out of one side of your mouth in the fourth and then talk out of the other side of your mouth in the sixth inning. And that's part of my problem, too, because, like, I don't doubt that he had the blister. I noticed it in the first inning.
Mm-hmm.
He had the fingernails out on the mound. Like, they were, like, I don't disbelieve that. Like, obviously, it's true, and this has been a reoccurring thing with Jake Odorizzi throughout his entire career. My, I guess, beef with it and my content with Jake Odorizzi is, like, be a gamer. Like, go out there and pitch through it. You just told us that you could pitch through it, right? So every time you give up a hit, stop messing with it. Like, whenever he got an out, he wasn't messing with it. Why are you messing with it after you give up a two-run bomb to Tony Stinkin' Kemp,
excuse,
who's a slapping Judy hitter? You know what I mean? Like, that's the part that bothered me, was, like, the competitiveness of Jake Odorizzi. Because Jake Odorizzi has times when he pitches very well, when things are going right in the world, where there's rainbows and unicorns out at the ballpark. But there's any sort of adversity, oh, my finger hurts. Oh, I can pitch through it to save the bullpen to act tough in front of a camera. But you're really not. You're really not if you're looking at it every single time you give up a base hit. Every time you give up a home run, oh, my little finger hurts. I agree that it's there. I believe him. But I just feel like you have to pitch through it if you want to be a gamer, you want to be a competitor, and you want to be somebody that can be relied on even when things aren't going well. Hey, get through it. Go 5-6 innings. Give up 3 runs.
So here's the other part of that, too. You can be a gamer and be tough, but are you being tough for the team? Are you being tough for yourself because you realize if this sets you back and it takes you out of the rotation again, and you know how good the rest of the rotation has been, that you're doing it for your own selfish reasons, because if you tough it out, you stay in the rotation. If you are forced to have to go to the IL or they're going to have to sit you down for a while, now with the deadline looming too, are you taking yourself out of contention for sticking with this team and being a part of it and weaseling your way out of what you already weaseled your way into and being back in the rotation when you felt like you should be back there? I think it's all just selfish me mentality thinking by a guy that has always been about me since putting on an Astros uniform. And that's what annoys me the most. If this was one of the other guys, hey man, you did your best. And at a certain point, I think that if it was bothering them, they also would have brought the training staff and looked at it earlier. I would have thought that it had been something that would have been looked at in between innings a lot more if he was just sitting on it. But then, like, we all could see.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the trainers and stuff looking at him, like, in the dugout between innings. And when they came out there for one of the first mound visits, they brought the trainer out there, too. So I think they're aware of it.
Well, they're aware of it. But then if he's truly being honest, not just with himself, but with everybody else, including the pitching coaches and Dusty, if there's certain pitches you can't throw, if you realize, if you're feeling that shocking sensation when, you know, when you're throwing the baseball, that's going to limit your ability to fully see your pitches through, because the minute you feel that, you're going to probably stop from where you normally are, which is going to leave pitches up in the zone. And he got tattooed. And of all the things that he does, he doesn't normally give up a lot of home run balls. And Tony Kemp and what's the guy?
Skybolt.
Yeah, the Sunshine and Rainbows.
It sounds like a character in Toy Story. Skybolt.
It does. Yeah,
it sounds like a Disney character.
Yeah, so superhero Skybolt.
Yeah.
Saved the day too. But when little fellas like that are knocking you out of the park, you're obviously not leaving the ball where you need to be leaving it, and you should probably have left the game already.
See, I'm on the other side of that. Like, I get that. Okay, I'm not very good. Take me out of the game. But I also understand that it's a stretch of 19 games in 18 days, the first game of a series after you had 5 high-leverage games. You swept the Yankees in a doubleheader. You sweep the Mariners in Seattle. Like, I felt letdown was about to happen just because you're going into all those hostile environments, like the hostile environment in Seattle, the high-leverage games against the Yankees. And all of a sudden, you have 4,000 people inside of the Ricky Henderson Field inside the Oakland Coliseum. Like, it felt like one of those games. It felt like a lackluster game. And that no one wanted to be
there. There was no doubt you were set up for a letdown.
So where do you stand, though, on, like, the Odorizzi part? Like, if the finger's bothering him in the third inning, he gave up all the runs in the fourth inning, like, do you want him out of the game in that spot, or do you want him to try to eat up innings and save the bullpen? Because I'm more of the latter, to be honest.
Look, I think that I want to give my team the best chance to win. Because it's not, you know what, it's a tough look when you're already fighting for attention because of the way the market and everything else that goes with the three other teams in the league that are fighting for best record, the Dodgers, Mets, and Yankees. But you come off such a devastatingly positive stretch, and it was set up for a letdown game. But when you get into it, give your team a chance to win. You're still playing the A's. And at home, they are the worst hitting baseball team at home and one of the worst hitting baseball teams in the league. So at least if you're going to be having issues, you know you can't pitch like your normal self. I understand what you're trying to do with the bullpen, but I believe at the end of the day, you feel a whole hell of a lot better if you had to use an arm or two, but you got through a game that you won, as opposed to he stayed too long, you still had to tap into your bullpen, use Stanek a little longer than you normally would, and you lost the game, that there's a different feeling in the room.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I'm at with it. Like, that's why I keep saying, if he knew this was an issue and he wasn't himself, I think you're doing more harm than good by trying to stay in the game, because now you're throwing pitches that are going to give the A's confidence and they're going to get all over.
But I'm almost of the mindset, and I get that point, and I think it's 50-50. You know, you can discuss it and be on the either side of it. For winning the game, I completely agree. Like, for winning that one singular game, it's the best thing. If Odorizzi's like, oh, I can't go, my blister's hurting, which we would criticize him. Like, we would be very critical of Odorizzi leaving the game in that spot. But I'm also okay, for a lack of a better word, tanking a game in the middle of a 17 or 19 games, an 18-day stretch, coming off all the emotion in Seattle, coming off the first five games of the All-Star break. Like, if you reverse engineer it, let's say Odorizzi leaves that game after three, now you're looking at Seth Martinez, who's been used quite a bit since the All-Star break, having to put multiple innings together. Brian Abreu, who started to get loose in the bullpen, went to the dugout. We never saw him again. That was very bizarre, by the way. Something maybe to monitor. Like, you're looking at multiple innings there. Maton standing. Like, you're looking at making the bullpen upside down, as Dusty Baker likes to look at it. So I get Odorizzi's point of wanting to bail out the bullpen, to save the bullpen. But you can't have that mindset in the fourth inning and then leave the game because you give up a couple hits to lead off the sixth inning, when I don't think they're ready to take him out of the game. Maton literally just got up.
Yeah, I just feel like, look, this is another reason, too, while I've been harping all year that they need more bullpen help. But I think that, you know,
have so many spots, though, right?
I understand. But you know what? And for a while there, you were screwing around with an extra position player and you were trying to figure out a lot of things. But I think that, look, for as good as the guys that you know and trust as high-leverage, late-inning guys have been, there's just been too many question marks with the other guys that are the other guys. And if you could add a couple more quality, trustable, solid arms to the pen, a lot of these issues could take care of themselves a little bit better.
Because they still have to log innings. Like, I think it's two separate conversations. Because can you upgrade over Abreu? Absolutely. Can you upgrade over Martinez? Absolutely. But you can only carry 13 pitchers.
I get that, but Jeremy, here's the
other
thing.
To be used.
The other thing is, too, at a certain point, you've got to address the starting pitchers of a six-man rotation, too, and realize that if you had a five-man rotation, you've got a long guy, whether it's Javier or otherwise, that gives you a chance to win, too. So I think that's something that they've got to consider.
Yeah. You're right. The six-man rotation. Like, you have the numbers, but the six-man rotation kind of, it takes one out of the bullpen, and it makes one a starter. That is true. I want to talk about the trade aspect of Jake Odorizzi. Killer Bees have been very vocal, I believe, try to get Odorizzi out of here before August 2nd. What yesterday's start meant for his trade value, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Also on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. You know what Jake Overeasy's pitching yesterday led me to do late night, because it was a late game? It was a good drink. Vodka, gin, bourbon, all part of the rotation for me. Last night, since it was a little late, went with the vodka. A local Texas brand, Gentle Bend Spirits, does it all, and they do it better than anyone. Gentle Bend, a line of ultra-premium Texas spirits using their state-of-the-art, innovative Percedo craft technology. It's better in purity, it's better in aroma, and it's better in taste than your favorite brand of vodka, gin, or bourbon. Purification of Gentle Bend, unrivaled. You'll love what's not in it. Try a sip of Gentle Bend, compare it to your brand, and you're going to taste the huge difference that I did when Ricky Ford, owner of Gentle Bend Spirits, A&M Class of 85, had me out to the tasting room in Alvin to see what I thought, and ever since then, I've been a Gentle Bend man. All of our listeners have been trying it. They tell me it's smooth. They tell me it's clean. They tell me what I'm already knowing, that it also eliminates the burn. Enjoy your drink. Don't work through your drink. You can find Gentle Bend Vodka and Gin at Total Wine and Specs, also online at gentlebend.com. If you're in the Pearland area, swing by Broadway Liquor to pick up a bottle of the vodka or the gin. Also exciting news, you go to Minute Maid Park, you frequent the Diamond Club. Gentle Bend now in the Diamond Club at Minute Maid Park. You want to get your hand on that bourbon too, by the way, double platinum at the Ascot Awards. You got to head to that tasting room in Alvin. It's exclusive to the tasting room. One other note, Gentle Bend looking for brand ambassadors. So if you or anyone you know is interested, check out their website at gentlebend.com. Gentle Bend, the union of tradition and invention.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Okay, Jake Overeasy lit up yesterday. 6 runs, 7 hits against one of the worst teams in baseball. Bottom of the order of one of the worst teams in baseball lit him up. Tony Kemp, 208 hitter, punching Junie, fourth homer of the year. He got to him. Also drove in three, had that two RBI double over the head of Jake Myers, who the Astros had positioned in and towards left field. And then Sky Bolt, the superhero of some Pixar movie, got to him as well. Just the third homer of the year for Sky Bolt. But Jake Overeasy, look, the August 2nd deadline right around the corner. In fact, we're a week away from the Major League Baseball trade deadline. A little bit later, we'll take a look at our top five targets for the Houston Astros to look at ahead of that August 2nd deadline. And Mike Stanton, second greatest pitcher ever in terms of appearances in Major League Baseball. He's going to be joining us in 12 minutes, too, and he'll be a great to pick his brain on, you know, blisters on the finger and what it means to a pitcher. So we'll talk to Stanton about that. But the trade value of Odorizzi, because like August 2nd, right around the corner, it's a week away. Odorizzi, prior to last night, was respectable as a starting pitcher. His ERA right around 3.5. The starting pitcher market is not great, and there's a lot of teams that are interested in starting pitching. So before yesterday's start, I thought you could get a, you know, B-level prospect for Odorizzi, a C-level prospect for Odorizzi, clear the money off the books. Not so much for this year, but really for next year. Look, he's your number six starter, realistically, that's just eating innings. Like, his value for this team is that he's saving the arms of Verlander. He's saving the workload of Fromber and Javier and Garcia and Urquidy, which does have some value. But every 6 day, when you turn to Odorizzi, it stinks, right? Because he could pitch like he did yesterday. There's also money on the books for Odorizzi next year. He has a player option, $6.5 million, escalators up to 12.5 based on innings pitch. So he can make as much as $12.5 million next season. I rather see those resources spent elsewhere. Yesterday, look, I still want to trade him, and I would trade him now for like a bucket of curveballs, to be honest with you. Just get his money off the books. But he hurt the trade value in two senses. One, he got lit up by one of the worst teams in baseball, and now he's injured.
Well, here's the thing too, Jeremy. I don't think that we've thought about this previously, but it really came to my attention last night. When you look at his body of work, especially since he's been good, a majority of those starts have been against the A's. Eventually, they got to him last night because they've seen him so frequently over the last 3 games that he's pitched against them. But also, if I'm a general manager and I'm looking for a trade and I want to add a starter, I need to see a guy that's pitched more against the you know, other teams in the league than just the bottom feeders, and especially one team specifically where he made 3 starts. If I want to know that he can get major league hitters out consistently, let him face major league hitters, not the Oakland A's. Let him face, you know, good lineups and show that he's capable of getting these kind of guys out. And then I'll talk to you about a trade and maybe I'll give you something in return that you might be interested in. Other than you, that you might be lucky to get a bucket of curveballs, because for all the good that he's done to kind of resurrect what he had completely buried himself on starting the season, when you look at the overall body of work, it's not that impressive when you consider the opponents he was facing. You need him to be able to continue to get into some games against some good teams and do some good things. But whether it was planned or not, he didn't see the Yankees. You know, the games that he pitched never saw big-name teams. And so you take it all with a grain of salt. Sure, it looks good on paper with all those numbers, but do something to get somebody that matters too. I think that you could still find a team that would be willing to take a flyer on him, yeah, but
somebody needs to eat innings. They have a bad number five.
You're not going to get a whole lot in return, but guess what? At this point, it's another one of those addition by subtraction moves. I just need him the hell out of there, so I don't need to sit there and hear him whine to Mark Berman and bitch about, you know, the fact that he's healthy and he should be pitching and who knows when they're going to put him in. And then when he gets put in, you know, he's going to milk the finger, and the finger's an issue that's going to give him all the reasons why it didn't go well. But I'm going to question why, if the finger was making it not go well, why you lasted as long as you did and put them in a hole they couldn't get out of.
It's the classic, is your worth greater than the, like, I don't think he's trouble, but is it greater than the trouble you're causing, right? And, like, Odorizzi's value to this team is that he can eat innings, that it's not always bad, that sometimes it can be all right, you know, 5 innings, 1 run, things like that against bad teams, like you mentioned. But whenever you have him leaving games with injury, whenever it is, that's something that hurts you because now you're putting the bullpen at risk. two, what you said, you know, to kind of like, he acts like he's like a number two or number three starter, right? Like, he doesn't really know his role. Like, he carries himself like he should be getting treated the same way as Justin Verlander and Lance McCullers. Look, if Justin Verlander wants to fly across the country and every day that he's not pitching, if he wants to be in, you know, Paris whenever he's not pitching, I don't care, because it's Justin Verlander and he's contending for an American League Cy Young and he's a Hall of Famer. If Jake Odorizzi's whining about a finger blister and when he's pitching and how he's used and I just work here, you can't be a number six starter on a team. If you're number six starter, you should smile, be happy, take your per diem, pay the money that you're getting, and never say a word. And Odorizzi does not do that. So trade him for whatever you can trade him for. And people are saying trade him for a bag of peanuts, trade him for a bucket of curveballs, trade him for a bowl of soup.
Even if it's that nasty soup you eat. Even
that
if it
soup
stinks.
Is the best in Houston.
Even if
find it on airline.
I mean, the bottom line is that you got something delicious for him and you got rid of him so he's not an annoying pain in the ass.
What would you trade Jake Odorizzi for? What is the lowest thing that you would get for Jake Odorizzi? I don't know if I would go that far.
I wouldn't either. Those warts and blisters, I hope they go away eventually, because that's a tough leave.
Are you telling us something?
I've seen it on the news.
713-7.
A guy talking
ESPN
about it while he had three Super Bowl sized warts under his lip. I'm just letting you know, that's a disturbing disease.
Is it contagious?
I don't know. They're sending a whole bunch of vaxes, I guess, but I don't know.
You're kind of scaring me right now. 713-780-3776. What would you trade? What would be the worst thing that you would take back in a trade for Jake Odorizzi? Bucket of curveballs, bag of peanuts. What was the other one that you sent?
Mike Fiers. That would be the worst thing in the world
I'll stick with Odorizzi.
Jake Odorizzi.
I'll stick with Odorizzi. Now, this is fitting. You think that Odorizzi is going to have one more start ahead of the deadline because he's pitching every 6 day, right? He's your number six starter right now. You play five more games before what would be his next start. And Odorizzi did say in the post-game press conference, we'll see if it happens, that he's going to make his next start. This is fitting, by the way, what day it is at Minute Maid Park. But he's going to pitch on July 31st against Seattle. So he has one more chance to curry favor of some other team out there that needs a starting pitcher. So I'm hoping for everything I can hope for, that Odorizzi pitches at least okay, that some other team will trade literally anything for Jake Odorizzi. Now, the day, the Astros marketing day that he's pitching on July 31st, yes. I just realized this and it's rich. It's Princess Day at Minute Maid Park.
The tiaras.
Take over easy, starting on the bump for the Houston Astros.
Jeez.
Fitting, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much, because he needs to be treated like one and pampered like one, but he doesn't pitch like one. Because you're absolutely right. If this is Justin Verlander, this is Fromber. As good as Fromber has been this year. Hey, man, we don't need to create a prima donna for you for the rest of your career. But, you know, if you got something going on, look, we're going to pay attention to it, but if you want it addressed, we'll talk about it because you mean that much to our team. Jake Odorizzi thinking he's bigger than the team on more than one occasion has just led me to take this side of Jake Odorizzi that they're better off without him, and I'm tired of his routine.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN 6602. I think they wanted him to get out of the game, but he was being a little kid and didn't want to get out of the ball pit at McDonald's. I'm not sure what it was. I'm not sure if it was Odorizzi talking his way out of the game. I feel like the Astros still wanted him in. Like, Maton wasn't warming up whenever they pulled him. I feel like they wanted Odorizzi to try to save the bullpen the best they can. He also says he's getting traded. We can only hope. 6030, he just sounded like a whiny bee on that soundbite. Speak up, man. Say it with your chest. Like, he does. He came across as a wuss yesterday. He really did. He came across as a wuss. He came across as somebody who thinks he's the number two, number three starter on this team, and he's their sixth starter. He's the most expendable starter that they have. 9013, over easy for a half-eaten payday bar. What's the worst thing that you would take back in a trade for Jake Odorizzi? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Mike Stanton, who does some work on AT&T Sportsnet, you can see him in the pregame, you can see him in the postgame show over there. He is the second all-time leading appearancer in Major League Baseball. I'm sure he's pitched with a blister before.
Leading what?
He's appeared in the second most games of anybody in baseball history.
I understand that.
Yeah,
thank you.
I was putting it in a very funny way. he joins the Killer Bees next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and college football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
You know, it's very tough to get those loogies on the line. Efforting Mike Stanton, second most appearances in Major League Baseball history. We'll get him on when we get him on.
He's somewhere with a baseball in his hand, I bet.
Yeah. I'd like to face him.
Your mini bat in his baseball?
Yeah, he'd saw me off.
Probably.
He probably saw me off. Nice little cutter on the hands. This bat would be toast.
That would be a blessing to so many of us.
No, it wouldn't. You gifted me this. You love this, even though you
one of the biggest regrets of my life.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
How does this bat do anything to influence your life?
Every time you smack it on the desk, man, drop it, or throw it.
It's the character of the show. I don't throw it. I bat flip it after I have great takes.
Yeah, you kind of, when you cock it like you're going to swing it, you bring it back and it slips out of your hand.
I had it once.
You can say it's a regret now, but the reality is you brought it in because he was using a broken armchair as a bat.
That's true.
That's a good point.
It was a good replacement.
This has become like
at that point, I liked him too, so I actually went out of my way to find one and brought it into him. Little did I know that it would be the biggest distraction that this show has ever seen.
It helps my attention, actually.
People mention it all the time. They're like, we heard the bat on the desk. Then last week we were in the middle of a conversation with somebody else, and it slipped out of your hand and went bing, ba bum, ba bum, ba bum, ba bum, ba bum.
That happened one time.
One time last weekend.
It's happened one time. Okay. It did happen to be last week, but it's happened one time. I have great bat control.
Yeah, you
got
a great grip.
Great bat control. 6602, someone give Jake a Snickers. We're talking about what is the worst thing that you would take in return for Jake Odorizzi. The Major League Baseball trade deadline is a month away. Somebody else, 9076, Dalis Keuchel for over easy. Like, this is kind of funny because Dalis Keuchel just got signed by the Arlington Rangers, so Arlington Keuchel is going to pitch in their AAA team. Like, this actually isn't the worst thing in the world. Now, I wouldn't trade over easy for Dalis Keuchel with the intent of using Dalis Keuchel on my big league team. The intent there is I get the money off the books in Dalis Keuchel, who's making nothing. He's making a minimum salary. He's making a minor league salary. And then you can go sell some tickets down in Sugar Land.
That was my thought to you in the break. Rehab. You could actually make money if he pitched in Sugar Land, because just the popularity of who he was as an Astro is going to draw more people to Constellation Field.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's you're getting Odorizzi off the books, you're getting some popularity, and you're getting some of the gate revenue there with Dalis Keuchel pitching at Constellation Field. 1158, I take a handful of stale oyster crackers for over easy.
You know what? That might be too much. You might be overpaying.
I like oyster crackers in my chowder.
Oyster crackers are sneaky good. You can put them in chili, but I love them in it.
Ooh, good call.
Great in chili, and also in chicken noodle soup to kind of thicken it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get a
oyster
little bit
crackers
of
are good.
Get some carbs in there when you're not feeling
well.
That's
what I said. You might be overpaying.
That's a great call. Oyster crackers are very underrated.
Yep.
Chowder for me, though, is where I really love them the most. 8601 said Odorizzi for Gallo. I'm not sure that the Yankees really want Odorizzi, but a lot of people like who was it the other day? Was it crawfish boxes or something like that? They floated the idea of, like, the Astros getting Gallo. And, like, everybody's like, oh, are you kidding me? We don't want Gallo as a Houston Astro, which I wouldn't want him at the contract he's getting, and I'm certainly not going to trade for Joey Gallo. But if they outright released Gallo and had to pay that salary and now he's just floating around in free agency and maybe you swing and miss on some of these targets you're going to get, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world.
I don't either.
Let's head out to the HR&P listener line. Joining us now, Mike Stanton, who's second all-time in Major League Baseball in appearances. You see him on AT&T Sportsnet, pregame, postgame for the Houston Astros. Mike, thanks for spending a few minutes with the Killer Bees. I'm sure in all of those appearances you've had in your big league career that you've had a blister pop up on your pitching hand. How difficult can it be to pitch with a blister on one of those fingers?
You know, last night in the post game on AT&T Sportsnet, I actually equated it to tires on a race car. You know, you can have the most powerful engine in the world, you can have the best handling, but if you can't get it down to the ground, then you just simply you can't win. You can't do anything. So it's the same thing with pitchers, that, you know, the last part of the body that's touching the ball is the fingertips. Unfortunately, a lot of times that's actually the weakest part. Yes, I have had blisters. They can be annoying. You know, you have to really keep an eye on them. The problem is you can't rush healing. And so we'll just have to wait and see exactly what's going on with Jake today and in the next couple of days. He said last night that he felt like he's going to be able to make his next start, but, you know, you never know, because like I said, you can't really make your skin grow back faster.
Didn't super glue help, though, Mike? A lot of guys used to experiment with a lot of stuff, just trying to make sure they didn't.
It can. It can, but it's also going to hurt your feel.
Yeah.
And, you know, for Jake, you know, since Jake doesn't have great stuff, you know, he doesn't have just raw stuff like a Fromberg or something like that, you know, he really needs to know where the ball's going. And that's what happened last night. You know, he gave up the five spot there in the fourth inning, and he just lost command. And all of a sudden, he was throwing his pitches down the middle. And, you know, no pitcher has really stuff to pitch there all the time, but you can make a mistake if you throw a little bit harder, your stuff's a little bit better. But Jake has to have command. He has to be able to know where the ball's going, and it's a very fine line between him getting weak contact and getting hard contact, and that's kind of what happened in the fifth or the fourth.
Mike, another topic that's come up multiple times on the show where you can really help us out here is as it relates to Christian Javier, as it relates to even Lance McCullers and discussions about how and where he might be used. Can you talk and differentiate when we try to kind of clarify for people the differences between what it takes to be ready every fifth day as a starter, and then if a guy, especially if they're going back and forth, but then if you're asked to go into the bullpen and the different stress and strain on your arm to be ready 2 days in a row, pitch two out of three games, you know, all those different things that a bullpen reliever goes through.
Well, it's really more about mindset than the physical side of it, and Christian has shown that he is plenty mentally tough to do both. You know, the unfortunate thing is they're already in a six-man rotation, and there's not been anyone that really deserves to be taken out, especially one of the young guys, including Christian. You know, Christian has shown he's one of the most difficult pitchers in Major League Baseball to hit, whether it's as a starter or a reliever, and his versatility actually in some ways hurts him because now you can put him back in the bullpen. You don't feel it's a detriment to him. He wants to be in the rotation. You know, as far as Lance coming back, Lance still has a little bit of time here. He's still got to get his pitch count up. He's still got to do a lot of things. And most of the time, these situations kind of work themselves out. You know, somebody needs to go down, something like that. So we'll just have to wait and see exactly what's happening with Lance. Obviously, it's been a long time in coming back, and he seems to be on the right track. But until he's activated, you know, I don't think you really try and – I mean, you can make plans, but they all got to be written in pencil because you never know what's going to happen. Right now they look like, you know, they have their embarrassment of riches here in pitching, but, you know, in a matter of one trip through the rotation, that can all change.
It's Mike Stanton joining us on the HRMP guest line, Astros TV analyst on AT&T Sportsnet. Mike, trade deadline is a week away. What are some areas this team can improve?
I don't know if there is or really any. You know, obviously the one category that you can say it doesn't matter how good the team is, you can always use another reliever. I mean, I think that's the one thing you can actually, you know, write in ink that everybody can use. You know, you can have nothing but Hall of Famers in your bullpen. You could always use another arm. I don't know if there's really another place. You know, there are places you might want to think about upgrading, but what's going to be the price? Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I think that the Astros are in pretty good situation, especially with Lance on the verge of coming back. That's basically a trade deadline acquisition. You know, getting healthy, even bench players. I mean, Aledmys Diaz has been nothing short of outstanding. So I don't know if there's really a whole lot on the wish list other than maybe just one more bullpen arm.
And, Mike, does it have to be a lefty? It used to be the situational lefties we knew were so vitally important to every team, but especially contenders. But now it looks like, you know, with analytics and such, there's a lot of belief that righties can get out lefties with frequency enough that you don't need one.
Sure.
This team obviously doesn't have one. Would that be something that they should address?
I think it's something you think about, but with the new three batter rule, that kind of throws a monkey wrench in things. Because so you can't have that, you know, that left-handed specialist, and take up the roster spot. You got to have somebody that can get right-handers out also. So, I don't think it has to be a left-hander. I think that, you know, you've got guys like Hector Neris that, you know, actually have reverse splits. He's actually better against left-handers because of the split finger fastball. So I think it's something you can look at, but it's got to be the right guy. It can't be just, you know, some lefty that can flip it up there because he's going to have to get right-handers out also. So you got to make sure that, you know, you get a lefty that can actually do both.
Mike, you've played in big games your entire career, some high leverage spots throughout. And the Astros, coming out of the All-Star break, they had two against the Yankees at home. They were up for that. They were ready to go. Seattle was chomping at the bit to get the Astros into T-Mobile, and the Astros swept them. Yesterday, you go into Oakland after all five straight big games, right? And there's 4,000 people there. How much do you feel that as a player?
There's definitely a letdown. I mean, they were in Seattle. It was over 120,000 people for the weekend. I mean, it was a remarkable experience there playing in Seattle. And I've been in those situations in Seattle. And when Seattle's got a good team, you know, those fans come out and they are boisterous and they are passionate. And that's what you saw. Now the Astros handled. They basically just just crushed them for three straight games. And you know the funny thing is, going into that series, the national talk was how big of a series it was. Well, it was a big series for Seattle. Unfortunately, it didn't work out for them and the Seattle Mariners fans, because this Astros team, you know, has the ability to rise to the occasion. Now, what happened last night? You know, yeah, it's a little bit of a battle going from, you know, a stadium that's rocking and rolling, you can feed off that energy, to, you know, basically playing in a spring training game. And post game last night, I actually equated it to the 2020 season when there was nobody in the stand. I mean, there was no background noise at all. It was pretty crazy. And it's Oakland. Oakland, you know, they've got a very passionate fan base also. It's not nearly as big, but, you know, they're a team that struggled this year.
Mike, before we let you go, I'm curious. You played in New York. You know what that media circus is all about, but it also works in the positive when the hype train gets going on the Yankees and their key players and otherwise. But do you think from a national perspective the Astros are still not getting their due? Do you still think that there's a bias against this team in terms of just how good this team has been all year and the lack of publicity that seems to not go with it when you talk on the national side?
I think that's a big talking point for us in the media and for fans. For the team, they couldn't care less. You know, that means absolutely nothing. To tell you the truth, it can be a motivational factor that if you feel like you're kind of being slighted. I think that in certain fan bases, New York, L.A., yeah, I think that there's a real dislike. I won't say hatred, but there's a real dislike for the Astros. But, you know, in a way, the issues they had, you got to remember, that was 5 years ago with everything they went through back then. But, you know, now I played for the Evil Empire, you know, through the late 90s and the early 2000s. We got booed every single solitary place we went. And why was that? Well, it's because we were really good. And, you know, I think the Astros are the same thing. Getting booed on the road means nothing. Actually, it can actually be, like I said, it can be a motivational factor. It can actually help you, you know, when you got the fan base on you or something like that, because the energy from the stands, you just saw it in Seattle. You know, the team played great. You know, they were sharp coming out of the All-Star break and then coming out of the two-game series with the Yankees. So, I don't think it really means a whole lot to the team. But as far as, you know, just being maybe a little underrated, maybe not. But I'll tell you what, the way this team is playing, even with last night, this is a force to be reckoned with. This pitching staff is absolutely spectacular.
Yeah, it is. Mike, thanks so much for spending a few minutes with us. Hope to catch up again very soon.
No problem, guys.
Mike Stanton, Astros TV analyst. Kyler Murray's contract, topic of conversation. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Kyler Murray got his contract details leaked. I bet you he's going to be in contact with human resources and payroll there with Arizona. I hope they have HR&P. You know about HR&P. Cougar owned by Mike Holley, members of the Cougar 100 for the eighth year in a row. You've seen the HR&P signage at the U of H games or their building off the Beltway. Business owners, let HR&P help you. HR compliance. benefits administration, payroll, onboarding, HRP can help in one of those areas. They can help in all of those areas. There's no boxes with HRP. Doesn't matter how small, doesn't matter how big. They will completely customize a plan for what you and your business needs. Problem or an issue, you want to take a little bit off your plate, HRP will find a way to help. And they do it in a way that's unique. Technology meets service. Look, they have the best technology. You'll love that. But you'll also fall in love with their service. Guaranteed fulfillment. You won't be talking to some stranger on a call board. You'll be talking to someone who knows you and they know your business needs. Give them a call right now, 281-880-6525, and let HRP customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525, or check them out at HRP.net. That's HRP.net. So Kyler Murray got paid tons of money. Was it second largest guaranteed deal? Something like that. It's huge money for Kyler Murray, and they did it a year before most quarterbacks get their big payday. So obviously Kyler Murray had the Cardinals over the barrel. Like, he was going to get his contract. Cardinals really had no choice, right? Like, he's one of the top 10 borderline quarterbacks in the entire NFL. You don't let borderline top 10 quarterbacks leave for free. Like, they had no choice. Murray had him over the barrel, and he knew that. But something came out with that contract. Somebody let it out that part of the contract for Kyler Murray, it says that he has to spend 4 independent hours studying film, basically, on the team-sanctioned iPad each and every week, or he's in violation of the contract.
It got even more specific than that. He can't be distracted. He can't look up to play video games or other things while he's on the iPad. So it's obviously an issue. And I think you're right. It's a tough catch-22 to be in if you're the Cardinals. You know that he's not ideally the guy that you would like to be running your show, but you also know that without him and trying to find another one like him could take 5-10 years.
So I don't think that's fair. Like, his peak and like what he did in the first half of last year, he was an MVP candidate.
But Sean Mapes actually found it. I was listening to them on the way in, and he found the soundbite from years ago where he basically talks about how he doesn't have to study like everybody else because it just comes to him.
Which is a
naturally.
Stupid thing to say if you believe that.
Really, it's ridiculous. And then you start looking at that, and then you look at what he did against the Rams and against the Cowboys, where it was just a complete fold up my tent, cower, and go home kind of thing, where he was just not ready for the moment. He wasn't ready for the pressure. He didn't know how to deal with the kind of pass rush he was facing. And you say to yourself, look, if this is this big of an issue, first of all, you don't think it's going to get public. Everything's going to get public these days. You need to work that out between the agent, the player, and the organization and say, look, we're going to give you this deal. We're going to do this. I shouldn't have to put this in writing. There has to be a way where you can do that with the team-sanctioned iPad and do those things without having to put it in writing, because it's a horrible look on both sides. You can scrutinize the team and go, what the hell were you thinking signing him for all that money then if this is a big issue with this kid?
Well, I can tell you why. Even he has these issues, he's still a borderline top 10 quarterback. That's 25 years old.
I get it. That's what I'm saying. But I also think that, look, it's kind of like on a lesser scale, you can be rated in the top 10, but if you're not going to take this team very far in the playoffs and you're not capable of taking them to the promised land, and this might be one of the main reasons why, then I don't think that I'm going to extend this deal for as long and as much money as I possibly could, because you've got to prove some things to me. We're proving to you we believe in you. We're proving to you and putting our money literally where our mouth is that we're going to back you. But are you going to do the things that you need to do so that you can take us where we want to go and take yourself to a different level too? Because if it's got to be put in writing, to me, it just tells me this is a bigger issue than anyone might have thought about it in the past. And he needs to really look long and hard in the mirror, in the iPad, and in the film room and realize this ain't just, you know, sunshine, rainbows, cake, and ice cream. You got to sit down and kind of buckle down and become a real true professional player.
Probably more ice cream than cake, though, because he's approaching 25 years old.
Yeah, that'll come up later.
This is a bad look, I think, on both sides. Like, I'm obviously, of the two of us, higher on Kyler Murray than you are. But still, the fact that he's not doing what it takes to be a top quarterback in the NFL, because he has top quarterback in the NFL potential, is Like, it's frustrating. Like, it's a quarterback that has every skill in the world, who's one of the best athletes in the entire world, mm-hmm. right? This guy was the number one draft pick in the NFL and was a top 10 draft pick in Major League Baseball. He is one of the best athletes in the entire world. So the fact that you, like, he's got all of the skill, he has all the talent, like, it's worrisome in the sense that he's not going to, like, reach his potential. Because I think his potential is an MVP-level quarterback, a Super Bowl-winning quarterback. I think the Cardinals think that, too. It's why they gave him all the money. Like, the film stuff, too, I think it came into play the second half of last season. There's a reason they started red hot. Okay, now other teams start getting film on you. They start playing you to your weaknesses. They start serving to your backhand for a
they
tennis.
They see your tendencies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So whenever you're not putting in the film work, then it shows up on this. Now you're not having a counter plan. You're not having a counterattack. Not having the counterpunch. But what's also interesting, too, is like the fact that it got leaked. Like, obviously, Arizona had to sign Kyler Murray. He's going to, like, he wants it. He's not going to play unless he gets it. And he is borderline top 10 quarterback in the NFL with potential to be much better than that.
You think the team did it?
I think so.
I do too.
I don't know, like, if it was owner. I don't know if it was general manager, but it was part of, like, okay, we're putting this in there to cover our butts. And then if this fails miserably, well, this is probably
Yeah, if you thought just putting it in writing was where the story ends and that eventually we would forget about it, we're going to make sure that this is going to be front and center for a while by putting it out there because it's too important to us. But let's parlay it, Jeremy. Let's look at just not just this and being this being an issue with Kyler Murray. Let's also look at the multiple times what we already saw. I talked about the way he folded up his tents and wanted to go home when he started getting punished. And the fact that film study might have shown you some tendencies on the defensive side, too, what the Rams were doing. Let's also look at how many times he crapped all over his teammates when he didn't think they ran the right route. From the Green Bay game with A.J. Green in the corner of the end zone when he felt like he did the wrong thing, to throwing up his arms on multiple occasions and getting disgusted with other receivers where if they didn't make a catch that he thought they should have made or a play that he thinks they should have made. Did they do the same thing when he did what he did when he cowered and laid down in a fetal position? So you start taking all those things and then put it with this thing and saying, look, man, you got the money, but now you got to show you deserve it and you got to go earn it. And you got to do some things to mature as a player, as a teammate, as a leader, and as a quarterback. Otherwise, you're on call and on notice with the entire country in terms of putting it out there that you aren't there yet, bro.
And that's part of why I think that they released it is because they were like, okay, let's fire up Kyler. Like, does he deserve this money? Maybe not yet, but he's certainly capable of it. Every NFL team taking care of quarterbacks. He's too good of a talent to let walk out of the door, play the franchise tag game, all of that stuff. Because he does have the potential, and again, we're different spots with Kyler, but I think we can agree that he has a top five quarterback potential. He can get to that point. And we've seen it on display. We saw it on display the first half of last year when he looked like the best quarterback in the league and the Cardinals looked like the best team in the NFL. And then it was a dumpster fire after that. And I would say a large reason why is probably because he wasn't studying film the second half of the season. And you're right. He's talked about this in the past. Oh, I'm too good. I don't need to study film. Now, why I think that this can actually be a good thing for Kyler Murray is because I think that there was a reality check at the second half of last season. He went from an MVP candidate to all of a sudden being outside of the top 10 at the snap of a finger. Arizona down the stretch in the second half was terrible. They were not very good. They went from looking like a Super Bowl team to looking like the Houston Texans. It was a very bad look for Arizona. But he still got paid, which is something that makes him very happy. But there's still a lot of runway there. He's a 24-year-old quarterback. Like, there's still room for improvement. Mm-hmm. If, like, there's a lot of other quarterbacks in the world. Let's use Davis Mills as an example, right? Davis Mills, we question if he has the talent to play in the NFL. We question if he has the skill to play in the NFL. You can't just learn that. You can't just start doing that. Kyler Murray's got all of the skill, all the tools, all of that you need. What he has to learn is something that should be very easy to just pick up on. Okay, I'm going to start watching a little bit of film. How difficult is that?
Well, I think, too, at a certain point, whether you can do it on your own and realize it's time to, like, put my big boy pants on and step up and be the guy that everybody is paying me to be, or the harsh reality is going to be as much as I thought he had a veteran locker room that was going to be enough guys that were outspoken enough to say, hey, it's time for us to have a little talk. You got to start doing some things a little differently. And we need you because otherwise, if you start coming up short like this on a consistent basis, we're going to have a real issue with this because we're playing for things for our career, for our resume that you deeply impact. And if it's going to be this way, because now.
His team, though. That's his team. It's not Hopkins' team.
But
it's
it doesn't
not
matter.
Team.
You got
it's
a
Kyler's
J.J.
team.
Watt. You got guys that, you know, have been there, done that. You had a Larry Fitzgerald in the past. You have an A.J. Green that's been in the league a long time. Even a DeAndre Hopkins, who's seen the good and the bad of a franchise and players and situations, should be able to go to him and say, bro, you know what? It's just like we talked about on the Astros side of things in baseball when the one time McCullers showed up Yuli and Altuve was the guy who normally doesn't speak and pulled him to the corner of the dugout and said, you're not doing that again. So at a certain point, the veterans have to get involved too and say, this is not going to continue. And whether we know it's not, whether this film thing is an issue or not, it's going to change because we have stuff waiting in the balance that's reliant upon you too. And I don't want when the chips start falling against us like they did after midseason last year, I don't want the built-in excuse that the rest of the team can come at you with and say, bro, you need to step up. And if this is part of the reason why you're not stepping up is you're not that engaged and you're not focusing enough, I don't know. I've heard about it. I haven't said anything about it. But if you play like this again, we got real problems.
To me, if Kyler fails as a quarterback in the NFL, the reason why will be the film room. And I think that Arizona, like, highlighting that and magnifying that could be the difference of Kyler Murray actually taking it seriously.
But I also think, but like I said, I think if you call out and show up a guy like A.J. Green.
It's Bush League.
But it's Bush League, right? But they let it go because they're like, he's young and he's a good dude. But if it's also now parlayed with you don't film study and you're not really deeply into it, the chances of letting him off the hook are reduced, and the chances of going at him 100 miles an hour are increased.
It puts fire under his feet. I kind of like it, if I'm being completely honest with you. I think it's a bold move by Arizona. I kind of like the move by Arizona that they would say, yeah, look, this is part of it, Kyler. You go earn this contract. Be the quarterback that we think you can be if you add this element. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. We'll shift the focus a little east and down to the south. Houston Texans training camp opens up on Friday, so we're counting down our top 10 storylines for the Houston Texans 2022 season. Number 3 on that countdown, it's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. I love the people at Fitz Roofing. They put a fence in my yard. It looks fantastic. It'll last for a lifetime. Or maybe not a lifetime, but it's going to last for a good long period of time, and it's up the overall appearance and value of my house. A lot of people didn't know they do fences. They do home repairs too. But the thing they're known for more than anything else is their quality work on roofing. They can put a new roof on your house, your business, your commercial property. They can fix a leaky roof on the 3 as well. They do so much with roofing. But the best thing is they do it better than anybody else. They use the best products in the business. They have the best warranties in the business. They have the best ratings in the business. And they're all focused on you. They're not going to get your money up front ahead of time and then just drag their feet, screw around, and not get the job done the way you want it done. From start to finish and everywhere in between, they're going to take care of you every step of the way until you're satisfied. Check them out at FITZroofing.com and see all the different services and ways they can help. More so than anything else, give them a call, 832-521-3001, because they do free no-obligation inspections. Cost you absolutely nothing for them to come out and tell you what they can do to help you. And if you want them to do the job, you just sign on the dotted line and they're going to take care of you every step of the way. But they will never charge you to come to your house to see what the issue is. 832-521-3001, Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
PN 97.5. Please stand by.